leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
DEA secretly tracked all Americans' phone calls for over a decade, document reveals, then would create fake research out of that. There's just new articles out on it today, so they could then create a fake court case, just total fraud. They can plant things on it. That's in the WikiLeaks and the newest Vault 7, is they were in there trying to frame Trump. That's what they've been caught in, is with fake servers trying to say it was him. There it is, the last article we can find. 10 years ago, government industry to use computer microphones to spy on 150 million Americans. Invasive surveillance and advertising obliterates even Minority Report-style technology. Paul Joseph Watson, Alex Jones, PrisonPlanet.com, September 6, 2006. They're breaking into your business, breaking in without warrants, in sneaking peeks, and they're also planting stuff. We know about the blackmail ops in the Pentagon, putting child porn on tens of thousands of computers to then blackmail everybody.
They can put images without you knowing it on your computer. Now, I'm not saying that that should be used as a pass for all these pedophiles, especially all the ones they're now finding in the British government. A person could be targeted that way. They could put some sort of...
We know they've done that. They also do it to a bunch of innocent groups as a smokescreen to protect the real operatives that are pedos.
Collecting all this bulk data gives them the ability to find information on anybody in the world and therefore use that as leverage or blackmail against either them or someone they care about.
And I knew about this yesterday, didn't cover it, and I didn't cover it today. And when Leanne walked in during the last break and said, why aren't you covering this? She goes, I'm happy to come on because I want to get her and others used to being on live because they're really smart folks. Why not? Why do you want me to cover parallel construction that we had with the IRS agent? A Treasury agent discussion where they frame people and train folks how to frame people. That was an interview on the Nightly News last night. We're going to re-air it in overdrive. A lot of people are freaking out right now because they know this is the broadcast that told you they have kill switches and remote control in all the airplanes for at least 25 years, all the modern airplanes. We're the ones that told you they can remote control your car right off a bridge and gave you the documents. We're the one that told you over 20 years ago that television sets were watching and listening to you. We told you they could switch on the microphone in your regular landline, not just your smartphone. We told you everything. Trump's learning about all this right now, about how they can remote control planes, how they can crash cars, how they can turn on microphones and cameras, all of it. And people were asking, how did I know this 18, 19 years ago? It was because there were a lot of engineers in Austin that were very wealthy that had been part of this that saw me on air talking about it and gave me even more intel. Vault 7. CIA can stage fake Russian hacking to undermine Trump. CIA kept Russian cyber attack techniques handy for false flags, and they did it to Trump. Everything we told you is in the new docs, tens of thousands of them, how they break in your phones, how they compromise Congress, how they run sex operatives against Congress. And we always keep saying, why does the CIA do this? Why does the NSA do this? Because the American people have been in the dark because of the media.
It's also been documented that the NSA has secret electronic monitoring rooms in every U.S. telecom company,
right,
where they tap directly into...
It came out 8 years ago out of San Francisco at AT&T.
Yeah, but that was just one example. It's about, you know, at one point it was 20 around the nation. It's probably much more than that now. But all that information from the telecom companies, from the internet, is fed back to a giant data center out in Utah. They built it just
a couple
of years
ago. Let's be clear. It's so huge, it parallels the size of the regular telecom. That's how big it is because everything's passed through.
Yeah, it's got 1 million square feet of storage space there. It costs $2 billion to build. It takes $40 million a year just for the energy bill to keep that place running, and it can store 5 zettabytes of information. Now, what's a zettabyte? One zettabyte of information, that amount of storage space would require a stack of iPhones from here to the moon. That's just one zettabyte. So when you're talking about 5 zettabytes of information, you're talking about amount of information that's absolutely incomprehensible. So what's stored there? Basically, people have to assume that all of their phone calls, everything that they do on the internet, all the embarrassing selfies that they take, whatever goes through the pipes.
All right, folks, it's Sunday Night Live. I am Chase Geyser, your host this evening. And we have so much news to cover. Alex Jones just had one of the best shows I've seen in quite some time. He had an amazing segment as well, either earlier this week or at the end of last week. I can't remember which it was, but it was the segment, I think it was last week. He was talking about the Fabian socialists and tying it into George Orwell and this anti-human sentiment that's going on. But I want to talk a lot about the developing demise of the Joe Biden campaign this evening, because there are just so many examples just in the last few days of clips in the news that are going viral regarding the just utter lack of competitiveness, competence, not just among he as a president, but also within his campaign as well. And I think the best place to start is just to show this clip here. This is clip number 59 of Joe Biden's cognitive decline being mocked at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2014. So we've talked a lot about predictive programming. We've talked a lot about prescriptive programming and how the New World Order always tells you what it's going to do before it happens. But there's also something to be said for the collective unconscious being represented in our media and in our entertainment. And this example from 10 years ago shows that people were already noticing Joe Biden was off his rocker, slipping, losing his mind. And they say the common expression is that there's a truth to every good joke, right? So it's just a joke on one end, but on the other end, there is some kernel of truth in it. If there isn't a kernel of truth in it, it isn't really very funny. So let's go ahead and run 59 and then unpack it on the other side.
The vice president isn't here tonight, not for security reasons. He just thought this event was being held at the Dulles Airport Applebee's. Yes, right now, Joe is elbow deep in jalapeno poppers and talking to a construction cone he thinks is John Boehner. Also true. It's crazy to think that Joe Biden is only one heartbeat away from no one taking him seriously as president. Sorry for that one.
Well, there you go, folks. And everybody thought it was so funny then, but now they're just acting like, oh, Trump is the one who's actually struggling with cognitive decline. I can't tell you how many different posts I've seen from these paid leftist shills talking about Trump's cognitive decline, and they're trying to make up stuff like he's falling asleep or farting at his trials. And maybe he is falling asleep or farting during his trials. Maybe he's doing those things because A, the trial's super boring and just a bunch of BS, and B, he might as well fart in a room full of sycophants. But here we have, 10 years later, after that clip that we just watched, an example of Biden attempting to hide his halting and stiff gait by surrounding himself with aides. Now, this is clip number 49. And before we watch this clip, there's something very specific I want to draw your attention to. Notice how Biden gets out of the front of the aircraft. All of his aides get out of the back of the aircraft. And they frantically try to catch up to walk next to him. And once they catch up, they have to slow down to the speed of molasses in order to ensure they stay next to him to block the camera from capturing the fact that he's walking like he crapped himself. Let's watch 49. All right, so his aides are getting out of the back. They're waiting. Biden is crawling off of the aircraft, especially compared to Secret Service member who got off before him. They're taking long strides to catch up. And then once they catch up, they're slowing down so they can stay next to him so it doesn't look like he, relatively speaking, is walking abysmally slow. It reminds me of that episode of Seinfeld. What was the episode called? Was it the Suitcase Hands episode where the guy was always walking with his hands straight down like he was holding two briefcases? It would be so funny. It'd be so much funnier if he wasn't the president of the United States, but unfortunately he is. And so amidst these examples of Biden failing at teleprompters, of Biden being made fun of as far back as 10 years ago for being cognitively impaired, of Biden not being able to walk. I mean, we had the clip of him walking with those kids a couple of weeks ago, and the kids were acting like they were walking next to somebody incredibly fragile. Then this week we had the clip of him walking next to AOC on Earth Day. By the way, on Earth Day, I had a bonfire at my house. It was almost seven tires high. And she's holding his hand because she doesn't want him to fall. And then we see that the campaign is doing everything it can to fake support for him, because in every poll, in virtually every poll, we see that he's losing abysmally. Swing states, even CNN polls, even CNN commentary is freaking out. They know what's going on. So let's watch number 58 here. This is a TikTok influencer admitting that Biden surrogates paid her to shill for Biden's policies. Let's watch this.
So you were in school, you were still in college when you started as a TikTok person, right? Or you started OnlyFans when you were in school too?
No, I started TikTok like the spring semester of my senior year. And I was like, fuck, I finally have to start applying for law school. And then like, you know, female privilege, life is so easy for a woman. Obviously I lucked out. I'm just kidding. I lucked out. And then, you know, TikTok was basically full time for me. And the guy was taking ads by the time I graduated college from like the Biden administration and Planned Parenthood and like dating apps and stuff. So it was like fully financially, you know, sustainable.
So you were getting, the Biden administration was buying ads from you?
Yeah, I was doing full on political propaganda.
And they would just, oh really? With like what kind of, like Biden created 10 million jobs?
Yeah, honestly. And the funny thing is they're like, do not disclose this is an ad, because, you know, they're like, technically it's not a product, so you don't have to disclose it's an ad. Because I think they just wanted like some edgy girl of color to just tell people, like when they nominated like Ketanji Brown Jackson, they're like, can you say like as a person of color, you know, that you feel reflected? And it's like a white woman emailing this to me, and she's like giving me this script, and I'm like, no. And she's like, please. And I'm like, no, I'll like talk about the news of it, but I'm not gonna be like, I'm not gonna have a white person tell me to be like, you know, this is how I feel as a person of color. Like, it's just so, I think that blackpilled me slightly on like, you know, political propaganda.
So
stuff.
The Biden administration sees, oh, here's this young,
yeah, I mean, they use like a conduit. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not Biden, but it's like Biden. It's like a third party. You know what I mean? It's like a media company that's doing it on his behalf. I'm not blaming him for this.
Yeah. And the message is like, because you're a dark skin,
I'm not
woman,
blaming him for the white person he hired to tell me to say that as a person of color, I felt a certain
like,
way about his politics.
Like another black person, just say that like you feel reflected by Ketanji. I'm like, no, I'll talk about like Ketanji's background and her accomplishments, but like I never, you know what I mean? Like I'm not going to say like the corny stuff. Even if it was a brown person emailing it to me, I'm like, no, that's not like how I feel. Like I don't look at like Ketanji and feel like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, and not only is he paying these, who's that kid? I should have asked you guys this while it was playing on the top back. Who's that kid? Is his name Henry Sisson or something? That does, what's that? Harry Sisson. He does video after video about how much he loves Trump with his little Gen Z face. And he's obviously a total moron that's totally paid just to shill for Biden. And it's just so obnoxious. So between TikTok, which I guess now is going to be banned, so I don't know what the Biden administration is going to do about brainwashing the 18 to 30 demographic. But between that and Harry Sisson and these others, you can basically believe none of the people that shill for Joe Biden online. And say what you will about the grifters who exist in the right-wing social media sphere. I understand that there are people that seem to just shill and kind of say what people want to hear. I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to start any stupid feuds with stupid people for stupid audiences. Not you, but the audiences of these people that follow them. The members of the right-wing sphere I'm referring to. I understand that, but generally speaking, like 99 out of 100 people that you see consistently build content around right-wing ideas like populism and freedom and Trump and others are actually doing so because they genuinely believe in that stuff. I mean, the whole reason I got involved in the social media sphere as a political voice was because I was so upset, frankly, irate, over the way that they were framing January 6th as an insurrection and the way they were trying to just classify all MAGA Republicans and all white Republican voters as domestic terrorists. I thought, man, my vote is not enough. I want a voice. And so I started really investing time in my podcast and building my Twitter following. And eventually I was able to leverage that and to get a position here, which is the greatest honor and privilege, because this, what better place could I be making an impact than working for InfoWars? But when you see these right-wing influencers, I mean, 9 out of 10 of them, if not more than that, actually believe what they're saying. But when you see these people shill for Biden, you know they must be getting paid, because it's not actually popular to support him, and Biden just isn't cool. It's not punk rock to advocate for this president. He's a joke. And look at him. He's practically begging in this clip. This is 62. He's practically begging in this clip for the mainstream media to back him up. Watch. Biden lectures media to get behind his campaign to defend, quote, democracy. 62.
Move past the horse race numbers and the gotcha moments and the distractions, the sideshows that have come to dominate and sensationalize our politics. And focus on what's actually at stake. I think in your hearts you know it was at stake. The stakes couldn't be higher. Every single one of us has a role to play, a serious role to play, in making sure democracy endures, American democracy. I have my role, but in all due respect, so do you. In the age of disinformation, credible information that people can trust is more important than ever. And that makes you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, makes you more important than ever. So tonight, I'd like to make a toast. To a free press. To an informed citizenry. To an America where freedom and democracy endure. God bless America.
Yeah, I don't have to tell you guys again that democracy isn't mentioned once in the Constitution, do I? Do I really have to remind the audience of that? This audience knows that, but I bet you if you went out to college campuses and you asked, hey, how many times would you guess that democracy is mentioned in the Constitution of the United States of America? They would all guess a number other than zero. I bet it's mentioned 5 times, 10 times, 100 times. You get all different guesses, and virtually none of them would say zero. Let me ask you this as an audience. How many impressions do you think Alex Jones got on X in the last 7 days? I went around and I asked the crew. Some people said 5 million. Other people said 8 million, 10 million impressions. That's times his tweets were seen in the last 7 days. You got a number in your head? Okay. The real number was 110 million impressions in 7 days because we are making a difference. That's like a third of the population. Now, I understand some of those impressions could be the same people seeing 10 or 20 or 100 different tweets of his, but we are the ones that are making a difference. InfoWars, Alex Jones, anybody on the right, whether it's Tucker Carlson or Joe Rogan, I wouldn't call Joe Rogan a right winger, but he's certainly somebody who's woken up to the enemy being the globalists. We are the ones making a difference, and the mainstream media is melting down over this. I'm going to show you this clip right now, clip number 55. MSNBC's Morning Joe melts down after a reporter is heckled. You think it's bad when people run up to the camera while Owen Schroyer is running a report on a college campus and a professor runs up and says, InfoWars tells lies. You think that's bad? We went literally into the lion's den. We went into the snake pit and we had one, maybe two hecklers. I think it was one heckler twice. But you have MSNBC getting heckled, just doing a general report amidst a brainwashed populace in a random public event, and they just melt down over it. They can't even handle it. Let's watch 55.
And by not taking it on an expedited basis, sort of taking it under regular order here, they've already created a significant delay here that means that this election case, however they rule, can't go to trial probably before the fall. And now we come to exactly what they're considering here, which is the question of whether a president has absolute immunity. And then there's a second question here, which is whether anything that Donald Trump is accused of would actually constitute a president, a presidential act implicated in the immunity question.
Just making sure you're okay. Do you need, is everything okay? Can you hear someone yelling?
Yeah, it's fine.
Threat.
We have a heckler here outside.
I've got to say, they obviously have been following the David Pecker testimony. They're yelling fake news, and they obviously want viewers to know that Donald Trump lied about JFK's assassination, tried to blame Ted Cruz. He's yelling fake news also because Donald Trump lied along with David Pecker. They worked together to lie about Ben Carson, to lie about Hillary Clinton. Fake news all around. So I want to thank him for actually
framing it
for us. We want to make sure you're okay, but also we want everybody watching to know that that person screaming fake news obviously.
And you realize he's just talking as much as he possibly can because he doesn't want the audio coming through for the host in the field. So he doesn't want anybody in the MSNBC audience to hear someone scream, an average American like them, like their audience, screaming that MSDNC is fake news. look, we have these bizarre examples of actual Biden voters bragging that illegals are coming here and they're going to vote Democrat and we're going to win. This is clip number 56. The reason people hate MSDNC and others and the Biden administration is because people like this are ruining our country and the average American can see it 1,000 miles away. This is clip 56.
I believe Biden's going to win in a landslide. Lowest unemployment in 60 years, baby.
What about inflation? You have any questions about inflation?
Inflation's going down.
Actually, it's going up.
It's going down. It's gas prices are down. Gas prices are down. Inflation is down.
Why is the Fed then raising rates? How many illegals are coming across the border every day?
A lot.
So about 10 to 15,000 a day. Do you think Joe Biden...
And they're all going to vote Dem.
You're okay. Can you say that again?
The illegals... Well, illegals. Yeah, they're coming here. They're going to vote Democrat, and we're going to win.
So you are admitting that you're admitting the border is a political tactic by the Democrat Party. Joe Biden is opening the floodgates of this country because he wants to hold on to political power. We've been saying this for a long time.
Proof.
You just admitted it. What is he doing to secure the border? When you have 15,000 people a day coming across your southern border,
who cares?
That is not a mistake.
Who cares?
But who cares? Do you believe in borders?
No borders, no. One world government.
And final pitch for Joe Biden? No borders, lots of war, more spying, and bankrupt the country?
He's still going to win.
You guys might win an election, but that will be the death of America if that is the case.
So we've got this leftist just advocating for open borders because he understands that the illegals are going to vote for the Democrats. And if they don't directly vote for the Democrats, then they'll be counted in the census disproportionately in Democratic states, which will give Democratic states a disproportionate number of representatives in the House of Representatives of the United States Congress. And then they wonder why it is that people want to vote for Donald Trump. And he talks about record low unemployment in the last 60 years, record low unemployment. Yeah, because everybody's got to work three jobs instead of one job to make ends meet in this country. It doesn't matter if there's new jobs being created. If all the new jobs that are being created are they suck, it's trash. You have to make $7.25 an hour, $15 an hour, $25 an hour, doing the best that you can to make ends meet. Both parents obviously have to work, and when both parents have to work, they can't afford childcare, so they have to send their children to public schools, and then their children go to public schools, and the public schools demand that their children get gender-reaffirming care, and that gender-reaffirming care puts these families hundreds of thousands of dollars into debt because it's forced to be put upon their children, and they're all brainwashed and screwed up, and then their kids want to go to these colleges, which put them more into debt, and then the colleges radicalize them to protest on behalf of Palestine. And I'm not even advocating for Israel here. I think both sides are evil in this conflict. I think the state of Israel and I think the Palestinians are both evil entities. But I don't want my kid advocating for Hamas at a protest when they should be advocating for America. I mean, Owen Schroyer just this week was the only person brave enough to actually wave an American flag at the protest at UT amidst these leftists who were screaming either on behalf of Palestine or behalf of Israel. And I understand if you're a Jewish person and your heart goes out to Israel and you feel your true loyalty lies with Israel, I don't even blame you. That's fine. Just don't act like you're America first then. That was what irked me so much about Ben Shapiro's coverage since October 7th, I used to be a pretty big Ben Shapiro fan. At one point in time, I was a subscriber to Daily Wire. I liked the movies that they were coming out with. I stayed subscribed because they bought the rights to do a miniseries on Atlas Shrugged, and Ayn Rand is one of my favorite authors. And I liked the work that they were doing. I thought What is a Woman was amazing. You know, I didn't always agree with Ben Shapiro. I thought he was wrong about the vaccines, and I thought he was wrong about being anti-Trump. But I was able to get past that because I thought he was wrong for the right reasons. Then October 7th happens, and all of a sudden you have this guy who's very clearly Israel first in a world that needs Americans to be America first more than ever. And so it makes me sick when I see Israeli flags or Palestinian flags being waved on college campuses. It makes me sick when I see Ukrainian flags being waved in Congress. And everyone in the world, in America, is ashamed somehow, or for some reason, to wave an American flag. I mean, we even have our own politicians standing up for members of the NFL for kneeling for the flag. And then now they're trying to push this black national anthem because for some reason our actual national anthem is racist, even though it's supposed to apply to all Americans regardless of any of their immutable characteristics. It's not about choosing flags or choosing national anthems. What we have is supposed to be the unifying thing. And if it's not, it's because there is propaganda. There is a push to divide in this country. And I could show you clip after clip of 500,000 illegal migrants caught on Arizona ranch. Maybe we'll show that clip in a few minutes. Or Democrat governor slamming Border Patrol because for fentanyl seizures for disrupting her state's legal pot sale. So now they want us to be invaded and it's 500,000 people on this man's property. And then there's clips here of fraudulent votes and this push for communism. And then, of course, this lawfare against our president of the United States. And then Islamists in Germany and protesters in the United States advocating basically for a caliphate. And it seems like everybody is fighting for absolutely everything except for America and American ideals. And I understand if you feel disenfranchised by the United States. I feel disenfranchised by the United States of America. But I don't feel disenfranchised by what it means to be American or by Americanism or by America, which I define as the people who live here, not the politicians who rule over us and subjugate us. I understand if you're frustrated with the United States that gets us into war with Iraq and Afghanistan and Vietnam and Iran and in Israel and in Ukraine and on behalf of Taiwan and in Korea and all of the other different military excursions that we've been involved with, not to mention the private contractors that we've hired to assassinate warlords for decades now all across Africa in order to protect our interests. I understand if you feel disenfranchised with the United States that takes one out of every $4 you make, which is basically one out of every 4 hours you're alive. I understand if you feel disenfranchised every time you get a letter from the IRS, but I'm telling you, that is the United States. That is not America. And I want to see people flying the American flag, advocating for American people instead of these other nations that all serve as proxies for the United States and catalyze this corruption among our political class. You can skim off the top every time aid is sent. Does that make sense? Folks, we're going to cut to break, and then I've got some more news to go over. So much. First thing I want to do, though, before we go to break, before we get into these other clips as well, is talk to you about Dr. Jones Naturals. That's drjonesnaturals.com. This is next-level foundational energy. Now, I have had the privilege of experiencing this supplement, and I can tell you firsthand, it's absolutely amazing. Next-level foundational energy is methylfolate plus B-complex, and the difference between this product right here and other stimulants like Adderall or an energy drink or loads of caffeine is that you don't crash. And it's not because there's a bunch of other stuff in there to keep you from crashing, but it's because those other stimulants trick your brain into thinking you have energy. And so when it wears off and your brain realizes what's actually happened to it, it just experiences all of the tiredness from the day all at once at the end of the day. But this actually gives you the energy. So rather than tricking you into feeling like you have energy, it actually gives you the foundational energy to get through your day. And not only does it do that, but it helps keep InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones has been under attack. We know his family has been under attack. So go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's drjonesnaturals.com and fight back against the New World Order by getting next level foundational energy now. I want to dive right into this clip. This is clip 39. Biden confirms he'll debate Trump. Trump fires back. How about tonight? So in an interview with Howard Stern, crooked Joe Biden confirmed he would likely eventually debate his opponent, former President Donald Trump, sometime in the near future, which is really only news because we've had a litany of examples over the last several weeks and months of members of his campaign, namely Corinne Jean-Pierre, saying they didn't know whether or not he was going to debate. We've had members of the press say that he shouldn't debate such a liar. And so there's been this push from the left. No, don't debate, please. Biden, don't debate, don't debate. And then there's been push back. And so now in this interview with Howard Stern, Biden seems to be buckling under the pressure of the pushback and admitting or stating he could be lying. He lies about virtually everything else, that he would debate Donald Trump in the future. Let's see if this actually happens, but let's watch clip number 39 first of this old decrepit man say that he's going to stand up against Donald Trump.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? If you, sure. I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
This is how I would handle it. Tell me if I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts. But tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump, and I would repeat over and over again. Excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes so that I can win the election. I would just repeat that over and over again. And then I'd say to the audience, what are we debating? A man picked up the phone and wanted to say, fake the election, give me 11,000 votes. I don't know how any American who loves this country, that's the end of the debate. You don't get to run if you're going to fix an election.
On January 6th, when...
What's he holding?
They were storming the Capitol.
And a police officer died.
Yeah, and he would say nothing. He was sitting in that...
But no mention of Ashley Babbitt.
That dining area off the Oval Office. For 3 hours and said nothing. I was supposed to make a speech on the economy that day. Instead, I made a speech from I was in Delaware on that issue because I was elected president, but I wasn't sworn in yet. I was derelict. It was almost criminal. He did nothing. He just sat there and watched
back up.
What was happening. Not a single, and now he wants to call, he calls them patriots and victims, and I mean, and says he's going to pardon them all if he's reelected.
You know, he looks like an egg over easy. The way he's just kind of there, like smiling up at you. Somebody ought to do like an AI swap of an egg being prepared over easy. Every time that Joe Biden speaks, should be his face in the yolk of the egg, just looking up and moving and talking the way he talks. Because that's the way he holds. He's got the body language of an egg over easy. Because he's so stiff and floppy and not really alive, but maybe could have been alive. On a better day. And obviously these Trump cases are backfiring. We know that the polls are indicating massive failures in the Biden campaign. We know that they have to pay everybody who says anything nice about him to say anything nice about him. And we know that the American people are fed up. I mean, whether you go in the field and ask any person of any demographic, even that video this last week in New York City, of a random construction worker being asked, a random union worker being asked what he thought of Joe Biden. His response was, F you. Do you have anything to say to President Joe Biden? Yeah, F you. And he walks off. It's an epic, epic clip. And people are waking up to the fact that these cases against Trump are collapsing. This is clip number 57. Watch. Turley says Bragg's case against Trump is collapsing. This is Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's case against former President Donald Trump in the hush money trial is collapsing, according to George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley. Let's run it.
Jonathan Turley. So break that down, sir, a little further for us. What does all that mean?
Well, it's a breakdown in the courtroom. They have a witness who is disassembling in front of them. You know, the prosecution never revealed to the jury in the direct that Pecker actually had killed stories for other celebrities, that he had been working on stories 2 decades before the election with Trump that he was suppressing. And now it's only getting worse. Yesterday was really bad in terms of the cross-examination for the prosecution. Today is much worse. I mean, here Pecker is saying that Trump didn't want to purchase the story. Yesterday he said that when he asked Trump about reimbursing Cohen, he said he didn't know anything about that. I mean, what we've already been complaining about is the lack of any cognizable crime here. But there's also a dwindling connection to Donald Trump himself. That is, what we're really seeing here is a lot of discussions with Michael Cohen, who's going to give us a really memorable moment when he gets on the stand. He's actually going to look at that jury and say, basically, put my former client in jail for following my legal advice.
And Jonathan, at the end of the day, the burden is on the prosecution, to your point, to bring this to convince the jury beyond a reasonable doubt. And my question for you is, as of now, have they met their burden, and is it they that are failing at presenting, or is it that defense is doing a really good job of showing the holes?
I think the defense is doing a very good job, but I have to say this is collapsing on its own weight. I mean, you just have to stand back and let it fall. I mean, just asking simple questions that the jury would want to know has left serious damage for the prosecution. I mean, these are not strange tangential questions. These are the questions that you would have expected the prosecution to ask as just the completion of their line of questioning. Like, was Trump the only one you did this for? When did you start to do this? Now, unless he was trying to get Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tiger Woods elected president, and one of them couldn't be, then the prosecution theory is really becoming something that's easy to mock. I mean, what I just don't understand is how the judge could let this farce unfold in a courtroom, because at the end of the day, he's got to give instructions to this jury. How is he going to instruct them? Because there is no crime. Is he going to say that this was a federal election crime? Because it wasn't. And the federal government declined to charge. Trump wasn't even asked to pay a civil fine. So how is he going to give that instruction? But if it's not a crime, what are we doing here?
That's absolutely right. I think many Americans, frankly, have that same question. Jonathan Turley, thank you so much for joining us.
Now, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is, why is it that all this lawfare is happening against Donald Trump and we haven't seen that much pushback from Trump? I mean, famously, in the debate with Hillary Clinton before the 2016 election, Donald Trump had that epic moment where he says, yeah, because you'd be in jail. And it was like an oh snap moment, mic drop moment. It went viral. And then he, of course, became president of the United States, and Hillary Clinton was never prosecuted for any crimes. And we're going to get into a clip of Trump explaining why he didn't prosecute Clinton. But before that, I just want to emphasize the level of crime that we're seeing from the left. In this bombshell clip, 1 in 5 2020 mail-in ballots were fraudulent, according to a survey. This is clip number 54. About 20% of mail-in ballots in the 2020 election were fraudulent, which effectively handed the presidency to Joe Biden, Tucker Carlson reported on Friday. Let's run 54 and then unpack it.
It's now apparently a criminal offense, a felony in this country, to suggest the 2020 presidential campaign was not on the level. That crime appears to form the basis of one of Donald Trump's pending indictments. He's an election denier. But actually, it's worth denying the legitimacy of that election because it was not fair. Critical information was withheld from voters through censorship and, yes, by the government. That is a fact. It's also a fact that Mark Zuckerberg spent $400 million to control voting in various places around the country and affect the outcome. That's not legitimate. It was also conducted in many places through electronic voting machines. And no country should ever use electronic voting machines because fundamentally they cannot be trusted. Why would you trust it? But then there's the question of outright cheating, voter fraud. Was there voter fraud? Well, we know there was some, but was it widespread? That is a hard allegation to prove, though, of course, many people believe there was widespread fraud. Well, now it turns out we know for a fact that there was. And in fact, it can be proven with a poll. Just ask people, did you personally commit voter fraud? Well, that has just been done. And the answer is a huge percentage of people asked in the poll admitted, yes, I committed voter fraud. It's remarkable. Justin Haskins is a senior fellow at the Heartland Institute. He joins us now with details. Justin, thanks so much for coming on. If you could just start by giving us the results, the shocking results of this poll, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So it was pretty straightforward. We asked people a series of questions, the first of which is, or one of the first questions was, did you vote in the 2020 election, and did you vote with an absentee ballot? And if they answered yes to both of those questions, then we asked a bunch of questions related to voter fraud. We didn't tell them that we were asking, did you commit voter fraud? We just asked them about various behaviors. So, for example, we asked people, did you vote in a state where you're no longer a legal resident? That's a pretty straightforward question. If you're not a permanent resident of a state, you can't vote there. 17% of people, nearly one in five, said yes, they did do that. We asked people, did you fill out a ballot for someone else on their behalf? That's also illegal. You're not allowed to fill out someone else's ballot. 21% of people said yes to that question. We asked if people forged the signature of a friend or family member on their behalf, with or without their permission. We actually put that in the poll question, and 17% of people said yes to that. So all told, it's at least, and I say at least, one in five mail-in ballots involved some kind of fraudulent activity. But we didn't just stop there. We also asked everyone whether they voted via mail-in ballot or not, so in-person voting as well. Do you know anyone who personally, in your personal life, a friend, a family member, acquaintance, someone from work, has anyone ever admitted to you that they did one of these kinds of forms of voter fraud? And 10% and 11%, we asked two different questions on that, said yes, people admitted to me that they committed voter fraud.
Thanks a lot for watching us on X.
There you have it, folks. They're admitting the voter fraud in the survey, and the numbers just don't add up. I mean, if you compare the survey, assuming that the survey was scientifically administered and not just sent to red areas or to a red audience, if you look at the data of the survey, it just doesn't add up to what happened in Arizona. Now, I've been somebody who's been very careful about making the allegation that this election was stolen, because that is a very serious allegation to make. And the more I look into it, the more the time goes on, the more abundantly, frankly, overwhelmingly obvious it is that the 2020 election was just blatantly thrown. And all you have to do is combine different factors. First, we know that this pandemic was likely leaked on purpose. Now we have recent reports that even the Biden administration, Biden himself and his son Hunter, were invested in companies like Metabiota, who seem to have been responsible for the creation of COVID in Wuhan. So we have a president who made the virus that turned into a pandemic. Then we have the virus leaking from the Wuhan lab, allegedly, supposedly, based on all evidence, all reliable, credible evidence, in September of 2019. And when that virus leaked, we have China halting all domestic flights in and out of Wuhan, but maintaining the international flights in and out of Wuhan. So there was the Chinese New Year, all these major events that occurred after this leak, allowing it to spread all over the world. And then when it spreads, we have the danger of the virus massively exaggerated by the mainstream media on a scale never before seen. I mean, this is a disinformation campaign similar to the level of what we saw for the weapons of mass destruction disinformation campaign that took place before we invaded Iraq. An invasion that Alex Jones predicted a year before it happened to the date, by the way. And then on top of that, after this pandemic spreads everywhere, not only do we have our politicians invested in these major pharmaceutical companies like Moderna or Pfizer pushing and forcing a vaccine upon us so they can make millions upon millions or billions upon billions of dollars off of our taxes to fund the free administration of this vaccine worldwide. But we see all of these state laws, including in many Republican-run states, changed to make these absentee ballots much easier to submit for the presidential election. And then we have these surveys come out where people admit 17 to 20% of the time that they illegally completed, filled out, and sent in these ballots in these states, whether it was because they forged the signature of a friend or family member or because they were voting from another state and they just pretended to be a permanent resident of the state that they mailed it in. In Arizona specifically. And so when you add up all these variables, all the evidence points to the election in 2020 was stolen, and they're going to try to do the same thing in 2024. None of the laws have changed back in order to prevent this from happening again. We just have to win by an astronomical scale in order to overcome the cheating that is inevitably going to occur in November, on the 5th of November in 2024. And I am someone who remains disappointed that Trump didn't prosecute the likes of Hillary Clinton and others who are obviously traitors and criminals who exploit their power and exploit the American people for their own gain and frankly just abundantly, obviously risk our national security here in the United States by selling out to the likes of China or others. And I hope that in his second term, he will fight back with lawfare. But I do want to show you this clip. This is clip number 52, saying that Dems should be careful with lawfare because it comes back to bite. Let's run it.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah, because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
I think you locked up the election with that moment, but you didn't follow through on that, yet they are trying to put you in jail. No, my question is, you were asked about that. You said, look, these are good people. I don't want to hurt them. And I kind of thought that was a very honorable thing to say. What happens if you become president again regarding them and the rest?
Well, let me tell you, I didn't want to. I thought it would be a terrible thing. And there were opportunities, obviously, and good, strong control. Everything was good, but I did not want to. And I thought it would be a terrible thing for our country. They don't care. These people are radical lunatics. They don't care. And they have to be very careful with what they're doing because it comes back to bite. And you're right about it. I had plenty. I had putting her. That would have been a horrible thing to do, I thought. But they don't mind doing it. And you're talking president, not, you know, the well, look, the wife of Bill Clinton would not have been a nice thing to do. But I felt that way. I really did. I felt that way. And she was quite nasty. And by the way, to this day, she talks about the election. Nobody goes after her. They go after conservative Republicans. They go after Christians. I mean, it's going to be a lot different out there. And I tell the Republicans, and I think I'm having an impact, a big impact. I tell them, you better start fighting because, you know, you're not going to have anything left if you don't. And we have some great people. You know them. They're on your show a lot. We have some great Republicans, but they're realizing they're going to have to get tougher, and they will. It's happening.
One more thing. Listen, it looks like, you know, from the outside looking in, you still have the momentum, these amazing moments that you're having in the city with the hard hats, the bodega. Behind the scenes, though, I mean, you are caught up in this trial. Is that starting to take its toll? You know, campaign operations, all these things that you have to do, are you able to do them? I guess you're not. How are you going to kind of get around that?
Would I prefer not having to do them? Yes. It may very well be having a positive impact on the polls because the people see it's a scheme. It's a, you know, it's a scam. Alvin Bragg is backed by Soros. Letitia James, her whole campaign was, I'll get Trump. And then you had a rigged judge on that case in Gorin, a man that truly had no idea. The other day for the bond, you saw the bond, which we won. $175 million backed up by cash. He didn't know what cash was. He actually didn't know what cash was. And he's setting fines on something that was absolutely perfect. Any other judge, any fair judge, any reasonable judge, even a bad one, but reasonable, would have thrown that case out 2 years ago. But you have these people, they're evil. You know, they're evil. They're sick. And Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, look at all the crime we have, and yet they have a big portion of their office sitting there over absolutely nothing. There's no crime.
Now, I love how he calls the judge Judge Engoron instead of Judge Engoron because Engoron rhymes with moron. And he's absolutely right. I mean, this judge doesn't know what cash is. And they're obviously criminals. And I hope that he fights back hard and he bites hard when he wins. And I think he is going to win because I think that we have enough of a lead that they can't cheat enough to surpass it. But Jack Posobiec gave a really fiery speech in Hungary, and I want to run just about 40 seconds of it. This is clip 53. It says, the heroes of anti-communism are the heroes of humanity. Posobiec gives fiery speech in Hungary. Because, folks, McCarthy was right. Not the most recent Kevin McCarthy, but the McCarthy from the Red Scare from the 50s. McCarthy was right. These people are communists. They've infiltrated everything in America from Hollywood to the educational institutions to the halls of Congress or the Senate and now the White House. And globalism and communism are synonymous. They are the same thing. You cannot be a communist without being a globalist because communism does not survive unless it exploits other nations. So it has to expand and exploit like a Ponzi scheme. Otherwise, it collapses in on itself. And so the fight for humanity is a fight against communism, against Marxism, against all schools of thought that branch out of Marxism. So, I'm not a communist. I'm a democratic socialist. Bernie Sanders famously saying, let me tell you what democratic socialism is. It's the same thing as communism. I showed you a clip, I think, last Sunday where a professor had to explain under his socialist utopia how one would go about getting a PlayStation 5. And it was so elaborate and inefficient that it just highlights the level of just incompetence and misunderstanding and inefficiency among anybody who would advocate this economic system. But let's watch clip 53 here of Posobiec really breaking down how important it is to fight against communism.
We've seen that hatred play out in these disgusting Gaza cities across American campuses today. Hatred as well of Christians, of straight people, of white people, of Europeans, of successful people. Hatred of our forefathers, hatred of our history, of those who founded the greatest nations on the face of the earth. Western civilization is the greatest achievement in all of history, and that achievement now is under threat. We watched as laws were twisted into arbitrary mandates of the political class that are never applied to themselves or to violent criminals.
So, he's absolutely right. And whether you're looking at these protesters on campus, whether you're looking at any of these issues between the left and the right in the country, whether you're looking at any of the issues, whether it's climate change or any of the other global initiatives to fund Ukraine or others, this is all a war to establish global communism. And the best way to fight that back is to spread the truth and broadcast the truth far and wide. To do things like go to Infowars.com or go to band.video and pull your favorite clips, find the hottest 1 minute moment of the segments of any of the shows, whether it's Sunday Night Live or the Alex Jones Show or War Room or the American Journal, and cut it into a vertical clip, put captions on it, put good music behind it, and blow it up. Because waking the people up is the first step to solving this problem. The first step to getting better is admitting that you have a problem. So we need to make the world realize that we have a serious problem here. And that's why you should participate in the InfoWar literally by spreading information, but also by going to InfoWarsStore.com and checking out Nitric Boost, which is back in stock. Because InfoWarsStore.com is the reason that InfoWars is on the air. We've been on the air over 30 years now. It is the reason, well, I guess Alex has been on the air over 30 years, but we've been on the air for decades now. But it is the reason that we are able to broadcast the truth and overcome all of the abundant efforts to censor us. It's InfoWarsStore.com. And there's several reasons that Nitric Boost specifically is an awesome product. First one is vitality. So this helps with promoting the synthesis and discouraging the degradation of nitric oxide in the blood. So this is a cardiovascular health product. It will make you perform better, whether you're an athlete or at the gym or just trying to have more vitality throughout the day. Nitric Boost is a great way to ensure that. Now, it doesn't just help with vitality, but it also helps with muscle recovery. So I recommend getting Nitric Boost at InfoWarsStore.com. If you are somebody who wants to meet all of your goals at the gym, Nitric Boost is an awesome way to ensure that you have the most efficient muscle recovery as well. So in this info war that we are in, ensure that you have the most vitality possible by going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nitric Boost now while simultaneously keeping this network on the air, broadcasting the truth to a global audience, folks. Stick with us for more news on the other side.
Welcome to Bisbee, Arizona, home of John Ladd's 16,000-acre cattle ranch, which shares a 10-mile stretch of border with Mexico. Every day, John comes out to see if any fences are cut, if cattle are missing, or if a water pipe has been damaged. This is the reality of living on the southern border, where illegal aliens cross his property daily. Ladd's residence is a mere mile and a quarter from the border, and while he is not afraid of living on his ranch, the gravity of the situation doesn't escape him. We take care of our own safety. That's the reality here, he told us.
These monuments are line of sight. They start in Texas and go to the ocean. And they're numbered. This is 92, and that's going east to west. And the Boundary Commission has to come certify them every year. And they're using GPS coordinates now and satellites. And the worst case scenario, they're 4 inches off. And they make it a big deal, but that's a Hidalgo treaty requires it to be certified every year that the border hadn't moved. Different perspective, you know, this is quite an engineering feat, a lot of steel and a lot of concrete, and it makes a statement. But the only way that it'll work is if we patrol it. And the only way that patrolling is going to work is if you have consequences when you got caught coming into this country illegally. And that this wall eliminates any misunderstanding that you're trespassing. If you climb an 18 or a 30-foot wall, you know you're in the U.S. So let's cut out, I didn't know where I was at. And I can prosecute an American citizen for trespassing, but not an illegal. And that's a fact. And that's nationwide on the border. And the excuse is that they don't have enough courts and lawyers and judges to prosecute them. Well, something needs to be done because they're trespassing. And that's my big deal is private property rights. That's what the whole trespassing Mexican cattle and people was what I started my mission on. And cattle are worse than people because if they have diseases, I'm out of business coming in from other countries besides Mexico. But it's evolved into the people deal. And Border Patrol's caught 500,000 people on our ranch in 30 years. So it's every day, even during Trump, which that was the best it's ever been. But how would you like to have 500,000 people come through your backyard? And that's wrong. That's completely against anything in America and our values.
Due to the high traffic and remote terrain in this area, Border Patrol has deployed a tethered aerostat radar system balloon that monitors the border from the sky. This balloon can be seen near Mr. Ladd's ranch.
Well, this is a genuine Carpathian.
What do they use this for, John?
Put your shoe in that, wrap it up. You don't leave tracks.
You see these on your property sometimes?
Well, I just got it right there.
Oh, I thought you kept it for us.
No. They're everywhere.
Carpathian found here on the ranch. Mr. Ladd says this is a daily occurrence. You can see this is factory made.
We saw stuff like that all over Eagle Pass.
It looks like, again, the bottom texture here is so that they don't have any tracks as they're moving through the area.
What they're using an 18-foot ladder and a rope here, and they cut the razor wire from the south side off the ladder. But the illegals climb up to the top, then come over, and then rope down. But all of the scuff marks at the top and then all of the rust being brushed off of the ballards where they're sliding down. That's the most obvious sign besides the wire cut. But it really sticks out when the sun's up, and it's shiny. And so that's what Border Patrol did. Well, he had a group come through here.
Further down on John Ladd's ranch, you can see behind me the Trump wall. Much more impressive than the prior wall that President Obama had built. No concertina wire here, and Mr. Ladd tells us that they can still climb this at 30 feet. He has seen ladders, and we'll show you that footage here. Ladders, they come up to it, they throw it across, and they can still cross here.
This is where the illegals cut the ballard.
So while 500,000 people have come into that man's property illegally from Mexico over the course of the last 30 years, we have Democrat governor slamming Border Patrol fentanyl seizures for disrupting her state's legal pot trade. This is clip number 50, which we're going to run in a second here. In a leaked audio released on Friday, New Mexico Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham slammed Border Patrol agents for seizing drugs crossing the border into the U.S. from Mexico. She claimed that the agents are imperiling the state's legal marijuana industry by targeting legal shipments in the state. Let's see what she had to say.
I want to put extra border patrol and guards. I love a guard. Put them at the border in Summerlin Park, where I don't have a single border patrol agent, not one.
and people pour over. And so I'm cranky with the secretary. He knew that was coming, did not say a word to me. Politico wants to write an article. Every single major press group in the state is asking me repeatedly, basically accusing me of being pompous. And Huffington Post, I mean, they're all going to write about it. They're saying that they're worried about fentanyl, so they're taking all of our cannabis, and they tried to, and they're detaining people. Never have done that. We just use discretion, look the other way. But the press also knows, you know, that the Border Patrol is taking a hard stance, and the only way for it is either we have to adjust it, or I have to send you a letter saying you're persecuting the state, you are not using your discretion, you're not working with me on immigration, and I don't want to send that letter, but I'm boxed in hard. And here's what also the secretary said to me, just so you know. Well, who cares? They make a lot of money. Well, first of all, it's patience. So I was really offended by that. Shame on them. And then secondly, we're the only state that lets baby producers in.
If you're working on a laptop computer, please turn it off and stay with it this time. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought that was really inappropriate. Just whatever you all want to do about that, but it was really inappropriate. Yeah, if you can. I mean, I've held off the press, and so that's, I'll send it to you. You know, I got a nasty, the governor's feckless, and it's going to let Biden all over. I can't have that. Okay. Done. I'll be available whenever you call.
Unbelievable. Right. Now, obviously, this week we've had massive breakouts of protests across campuses nationwide, namely in blue cities, whether it was Columbia or NYU, and here in Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas, Austin. And don't get me wrong, I'm against these protesters. It makes me sick to see such anti-American sentiment here in the United States. But I'm equally opposed to things like what Governor Greg Abbott said this week, that all the protesters belong in jail and things of that nature, and that the arrests would continue until the crowd dispersed, even though it was protests that were happening on either campuses or in public property. So I believe in the right to assemble, the right to protest, the First Amendment of the United States. And I don't just believe in it when it applies to me, but I believe in it when it applies to anyone, because if it doesn't apply to them, then one day it won't apply to me. I understand this. Anybody who pays attention understands this. But if you're really upset about what's going on these campuses, the answer isn't to arrest these students and then just stoke the flames and fuel the fire of the anti-police or anti-government sentiment, which erroneously becomes anti-American sentiment because people aren't able to distinguish between the United States and America. What you really need to do is protect your border, because yes, we've had over 10 million people come illegally into the United States, but tens of thousands of them, over 70,000 of them, probably over 100,000 of them now. The 70,000 number came from months ago. Over 72,000 of them came from places of interest, terrorist countries. And I know that these campus protests are primarily students who are legally allowed to be here and faculty legally allowed to be here. It's unfortunate that they're in our institutions. But this sentiment is spreading to all of our cities, and there are sleeper cells here. And if you don't believe me, we can simply look to what's happening in Europe as foreshadowing. I'm going to show clip 60 here in a second. This is Islamists marching for a caliphate in Germany. So many of the European nations joined the European Union 10 years ago or longer ago. And when that happened, they agreed and signed on to take refugees from different countries. And that has served to do nothing but ruin the cultures of those nations, whether it's Ireland or Scotland or London, England, or Germany. There is a massive culture clash problem going on that is a foreshadowing of what's happening here in the United States, because though the United States is not a member of the European Union, we for some reason have taken on all the practices and policies of Europe by opening up our border to anyone. So it's not just Mexicans or South Americans or Central Americans coming into the United States, but it's Chinese nationals who seem to be military trained and given permission to invade our country from China. And it is radical extremist Islamists who are coming into our country, and they are acting as sleeper cells. So when a caliphate is called in the United States of America, we may be the subject of some violence. We may be the target of some terrorism. And I know the government loves terrorism and the intelligence community loves terrorism. Perhaps that's why they have fought so hard to sponsor the invasion of our country by terrorists, because every time a terrorist attack happens, they can initiate new laws to erode the freedoms afforded to the citizens of the United States of America. You go all the way back to the Oklahoma City bombing. What happened after that? Terrorist attack by Timothy McVeigh, which allegedly didn't have anything to do with the federal government, despite evidence to the contrary. Well, they were able to pass laws to increase the surveillance of ammonium nitrate, despite the fact that they discard the 60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate that vanished from a train this year in the United States of America on the way to California. It might have been last fall. And they initiate new laws to take away habeas corpus and Miranda rights for citizens who are arrested if they are classified as terrorists. This is why the Biden administration is so eager to call us as citizens of the United States of America, as patriots of America, terrorists ourselves. Domestic terrorism is the greatest threat to national security. White supremacy is the greatest threat to national security. Right-wing extremism is the greatest threat to national security. They want to label us terrorists because if they do so, some of the laws that passed after the Oklahoma City bombing could then reclassify us as terrorists and strip us of all of our rights to search and seizure, the right to an attorney. I mean, I spoke to a brilliant attorney, Matthew Colkin. He's actually an immigration attorney. One of the best in the world, if not the best immigration attorney in the United States of America. And he fights for the Constitution on behalf of his clients who are facing unlawful deportation. He's an American patriot. He's a right-wing guy. I think he's going to be a Trump voter. I don't think he voted for Trump in 2016. Pretty sure he did in 2020. Pretty sure he will in 2024, but you'll have to ask him. But he's a good friend of mine. He's an amazing American patriot. And he told me that he represented, I believe he represented one of the terrorists that was somehow associated with 9/11, and then his client disappeared. Doesn't know where he is. I assume that he went to Guantanamo Bay, but that's what they can do to you. They can just disappear you, and your attorney has no idea what's going on if you're classified as a terrorist. And so we have terrorism being imported into our country, but we're the only ones recognized as terrorists by our own government. And we are importing people like this. This is in clip 60 into our country who are the actual terrorists. Let's run 60. Now, if you're scared of Patriot Front marching two dozen people peacefully down a city, you should be terrified of hundreds, if not thousands, of people marching in Germany calling for a caliphate. Unbelievably disgusting to me. Ugh, it just makes me shiver. And thank God we still have some semblance of common sense here in the United States, because as you'll see in clip 61, Arizona frat boys are helping to dismantle Gaza encampment at ASU. This is members of a fraternity at Arizona State University helped to dismantle a pro-Palestine encampment last night as protesters were driven off campus by police. This is a widely reposted video on Twitter. The fraternity members can be seen loading tents and other materials into the back of a truck while police in riot gear shield them from protesters. Let's run this.
Look at these. Right. We've got the white frat boys throwing away protesters' belongings, and we've got the pigs.
The white frat boys and the pigs.
We are being forced off campus. Pigs and brown.
Unbelievable. And we know that these pro-Palestinian groups have a goal in mind, one goal in mind. This goes directly in harmony with the Jack Posobiec speech clip that we showed just minutes ago, his amazing speech in Hungary. And their goal is a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America. At a rally for Gaza at George Washington University on Friday, a speaker made explicit the links between support for the Palestinians abroad and domestic communist revolution in the United States. Quote, "There's only one solution, Intifada revolution," end quote, the speaker said to loud cheers in a video posted to Twitter. We must have a revolution so we can have a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America. The cheers intensified. The speaker's identity is unclear at the time of this video. So it's not about who's got the rights to the land in Israel, whether it's the Palestinians or the Gazans. This is all just an excuse. All of these conflicts are just an excuse to usher in socialism into the United States, whether it's the conflict between Ukraine and Russia, or the conflict between Israel and Palestine, or the conflict between China and Taiwan, or the massive illegal invasion of the United States of America over the course of the last 4 years. All of these issues are being used as tools to usher in socialism into the United States, because every time an act of violence occurs, our deep state and our military-industrial complex and our political-industrial complex use them as an excuse to usher in new laws, all the way from those back to those instituted after the Oklahoma City bombing, to those instituted in the Patriot Act after 9/11, to those instituted time and time again in the United States of America, including the renewal of the unlawful surveillance of American citizens without a warrant in the FISA legislation that passed. Within like 7 days of banning TikTok for spying on the American people, they lawfully, I guess it's not really lawful because it's against the Constitution, but they legislatively empowered themselves illegally to spy on the American people. Every time there's a conflict, every issue there is being used as an excuse for more socialism. And it's not just violence or terrorism that catalyzes this sort of behavior from our leaders, but it's also climate change. I mean, we saw reports in the last couple of weeks that the Joe Biden administration, more accurately called the Joe Biden regime, is considering declaring a state of emergency on behalf of these climate issues that we are facing in the world. And I've looked into it, folks. I've read several great books. I've interviewed several incredibly bright people, leading experts on the climate issue, whether it's the book Unsettled or the book False Alarm or the amazing other pieces of material, conversations that I've had with experts saying what would actually happen if we eradicated fossil fuels from the face of the planet. And it would cause the death of millions upon millions upon millions of people worldwide. Do you realize that people in third world countries like India or Africa or others rely on fossil fuels to survive? Now, we rely on fossil fuels in the United States because it's less expensive. Well, we don't need them in the United States to survive, but people in third world countries rely on fossil fuels to survive. Without them, they would not have the heat that they would need or the water that they would need or the other infrastructure that they would need, frankly, just electricity at all, to literally survive. They will literally die without them. And these climate change activists, they don't just advocate that their policies impact first world countries like the United States. They advocate and they leverage their power and influence to force these third world countries, if they want to trade with the United States or if they want to participate in other aid, they try to leverage their power to ensure that these third world countries buy into this Green Deal propaganda. And I'm not somebody who's opposed to propaganda just because it's propaganda. I think some propaganda is very good if it's telling the truth. But when you have a propaganda of lies, then you have an issue of principle. You have a dishonesty similar to the dishonesty of our money itself that will only culminate in death and suffering for human beings worldwide indefinitely. If you want to be on Team Humanity, it's not propaganda that you should fight. It's lies that you should fight. And the green energy push is a lie. And frankly, not only would it result in the death of millions upon millions of people in third world countries, which is what the globalists want, because they want a middle class that can pay taxes. They want an upper class that can pay taxes, but they want the poor people to drop off because they're a burden on the state. Not only would it result in that death, but if we suddenly switched to exclusively green energy, just imagine if there was some device that was invented tomorrow. This is probably why anytime anyone invents a hydro-powered car, a water-powered car, they seem to die. I think there's been 3 examples of inventors who've invented vehicles that can be powered using water alone. Somehow they pull the hydrogen from H2O, from water, and they're able to use that to fuel their car. I believe there's been 3 examples. I could be mistaken. I'm pulling this from my memory here. 3 examples of inventors who have invented vehicles that can be powered by water. And they've all died mysteriously shortly thereafter, and none of their inventions have been thrown into mass production. The reason I mention that is because if you take everybody off of fuel, and if all of a sudden we have cars that are powered by water, then that will just totally eradicate the demand for oil, won't it? Well, if the demand for oil is eradicated, isn't what's our dollar backed by again? We went off the gold standard in the 70s. What backs our? Oh yeah, that's right. It's the petrodollar. It's the deal that Nixon made with OPEC to ensure that all oil would be traded with U.S. dollars. And the only reason that our dollar works is because we force nations to trade oil with dollars. So it's a fiat currency worth absolutely nothing, but we have artificially created a demand for it and throughout the entire world because oil must be traded in it because of the negotiations that we made in OPEC, and that's why we're always at these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and now Iran, supposedly, or in Israel, because we want to ensure that oil is traded in dollars. We don't actually want the oil. We just want the oil to be traded in dollars. And when we're worried about the state of our economy and the state of our dollar, all we do is turn off the reserves here to force ourselves to import oil from overseas so we can ensure that we can flush dollar into the overseas markets so that we can use the dollar then to leverage our control over Iran and Russia by sanctions, right? So when you pay more at the gas pump, it's not because we don't have the oil here. It's not even because we care about the climate. It's because we want to ensure that we have to send dollars overseas to get the rest of the global economy dependent on the dollar. Does that make sense? So that's why these people get murdered for inventing hydro-powered cars. That's why it's so stupid that these green initiatives could ever potentially replace oil. Because there's no way that we would allow that to happen. Our entire currency would collapse because it's backed by oil. And that's how you really know that this green energy initiative, this Green New Deal, this push for green energy and electric vehicles, that's how you really know they don't actually mean it. That it's actually a big, big scam. Because if it was actually going to work, they know and the intelligence community knows that it would cause the total collapse of the U.S. dollar, which is the global reserve currency, which would then cause the total economic collapse of the entire globe's economy and put us into a Great Depression, the likeness of which we have never seen before, not even in 1929. The reason they push this stuff is because they're all invested in the NGOs and the nonprofits and they're on the boards and all the money gets skimmed. They push this stuff because it's a way for them to launder your tax dollars back into their own pockets without ever actually solving the problem because they don't want to solve the problem because if they solve the problem, then the dollar collapses. So none of these initiatives are meant to actually work. I mean, just look at homelessness in California as an example. How many billions upon billions of dollars have been spent on homelessness in California over the course of the last 10, 15, 20, 25, or 30 years? And the problem hasn't only failed to improve, but it's gotten worse. So the more they spend, the worse it actually seems to get. So they know that they're not actually solving the problem by pumping it full of money. But they want to keep this scam going because they're invested in all the institutions, NGOs, nonprofits, and for-profit companies that provide the services allegedly, supposedly helping the homeless problem. And it's not the first time that they've advocated for spending money on issues that actually counter their desires. I mean, you don't think Soros is you don't think Soros is behind these pro-Palestine protests in the United States of America? You would think that Soros would be supporting Israel, and maybe he personally does support Israel. I don't know. I've never talked to him about it. I'd love to interview him. He wants to come on InfoWars. Recommend a remote visit. Love to talk to him. But you don't think that he's behind these Palestinian protesters? I mean, why is it that whether you go to a campus in Columbia or New York University or Austin, Texas, or anywhere across the United States of America, all these protesters seem to have the exact same merch? They've got the exact same brands of tents. They all seem to match. It all seems to be coordinated from a central location. Well, it's because it can be incredibly profitable for globalists to sow division here in the United States of America. And the more division there is here in the United States of America, the more opportunity there is for globalists to fund both sides of that division. And when you fund both sides of a war or a conflict or a division, then you can choose the winner and you can choose the terms of the surrender at the end. We saw it happen in World War I. We saw it happen in World War II. We're seeing it happen now in World War III. And we've seen it happen in the InfoWar as well. And so you have the likes of Soros and others funding these protests, even though they're explicitly anti-Semitic. It wouldn't be the first time that Soros used anti-Semitism to his advantage. I mean, didn't he famously aid and abet Nazis and then brag about it and rat out his fellow Jews during the Holocaust in order to save his own skin? I mean, this is not somebody who's got a history of just moral purity. He's not exactly a saint. And so all of these conflicts, whether it's green energy, whether it's Israel and Palestine, whether it's Russia and Ukraine, or whether it's Taiwan, or any other political issue in the headlines advocated or griped about from the left, is all about instituting globalism and socialism. They know that socialism in the United States will weaken the United States, and they know that a weakened United States is a catalyst for globalism. They know that once globalism is established, they can secure their power over humanity forever. That's what it's about. And that's why we are fighting as hard as we can at Infowars.com/show to tell the world the truth. That's why we are fighting. That's why we are fighting as hard as we can at band.video to have broadcasts like this and the Alex Jones Show and War Room and the American Journal and all the amazing other creators and guests that we've had on, so we can spread the truth worldwide and stop the enslavement of humanity. This literally is Team Humanity, folks. And we know that Alex Jones has been under attack. We know that his family's been under attack. And one of the ways to fight back is by going to drjonesnaturals.com. That's drjonesnaturals.com, and getting this amazing product. This is next level foundational energy, methylfolate plus B complex. I highly recommend next level foundational energy because, unlike other stimulants that simply trick you into thinking you have more energy, next level foundational energy actually gives you that increased energy. So you don't have that crash at the end of the day. It flushes out your cells. It helps the mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell, work as efficiently as possible. So you have sustained increased energy throughout the day. So whether you're going to work out, or whether you're an athlete, or whether you just want more energy throughout the day at your job, trying to be a successful American making ends meet in Biden's economy under Bidenomics, this is a great investment. It's not an expense, folks, to go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's drjonesnaturals.com. It's not an expense to invest in this product. It is an investment, because making yourself a better, more energetic person not only helps you become more productive, more successful, and a better warrior in the info war, but it also helps keep us on the air, keep Alex Jones broadcasting worldwide the truth so many have yet to wake up for. And keep in mind, folks, November 5th is probably going to be the most important day in the history of the United States of America. It is more important now than ever that the truth come out. So visit drjonesnaturals.com, get next level foundational energy, and keep InfoWars on the air. That's drjonesnaturals.com. Get next level foundational energy today.
There's a section of Pfizer documents where there's an 80% miscarriage rate of the women whom they're following to term. And they happen to lose 236 out of the 270 records of pregnant women that they have. But the ones that they keep, 80% lose their babies. And then later on, and this is report 69, and Dr. Walensky resigned 5 days after we posted report 69. It shows that Pfizer knew that babies in utero were being exposed to the vaccine. In their words, the babies were dying through transplacental exposure. Mm-hmm. But they knew that, and they knew that they were poisoning breast milk, and that the lipid nanoparticles, the mRNA, and presumably the spike was getting into the breast milk and causing convulsions and deaths. And apropos of what Dr. Thorpe has found and what you brought up about problems with newborns, I interviewed a midwife named Ellen Jasmer, who's finding what is in the Pfizer documents from 2 years before. They knew that newborns would have some of them air sacs between their tiny lungs and their tiny chest walls, and this would cause respiratory distress. They knew it. It's in the Pfizer documents. And yet, 2 years later, Dr. Ellen Jasmer is finding babies go home, they seem fine, they're coming back because there's an air pocket between their tiny lungs and their chest walls.
Well, there you have it, folks. Childhood seizures, myocarditis, and pericarditis increase post-COVID injection, according to an FDA study. Lining right up with that clip. A study published Wednesday in JAMA was conducted as part of a Food and Drug Administration public health surveillance mandate. It indicated that a number of serious ailments afflicted children following mRNA COVID-19 vaccination. So statistical signals were detected for myocarditis or pericarditis after BNT162b2 vaccination in children aged 12 to 17 years, and seizure after vaccination with BNT162b2 and mRNA-1273 in children aged 2 to 4 or 5 years, the study said. The study investigated data from COVID-injected adolescents aged 12 to 17 and discovered a safety signal after administration of the Pfizer inoculation, a signal that had already been previously identified before. A new safety signal, seizures, was identified in the study from data of COVID-injected children between 2 to 4 years old who got the Pfizer inoculation, as well as those between 2 to 5 who got the Moderna inoculation. Myocarditis is inflammation of the heart, and pericarditis is inflammation of the pericardium, the membrane enclosing the heart. Heart inflammation can be lethal, according to the study and the website. So we've got studies backing up that it's lethal. Of course, we knew that. Jones even said during the Alex Jones show today that the average life expectancy after being diagnosed with myocarditis is like 10 years. Now, I know traditionally speaking, myocarditis has been something that's been diagnosed among older people, so it would make sense that death would occur 10 years later. We'll see what's going to happen to these poor children. And it's not doing Trump any favors that he's doubling down on the vaccine. Maybe he's not even doubling down. Maybe he backed off. I don't even know if the recent reports are true that he was doubling down on the vaccine or not. But he certainly has been late to the game in admitting that there's an issue with these vaccines. And I don't blame him. It's hard to admit you're wrong, especially about something so serious as that. It's hard to admit that you had a hand to play in a product being developed quickly enough and brought to market quickly enough to have such a massive impact on millions of people. I forgive him for it because I think it's an issue of the corrupt and evil people around him who knew better and pushed it. And I think they put him in a very difficult situation and convinced him that the pandemic was very serious when it wasn't, and that the vaccines were very safe and effective when they weren't. But I don't blame him entirely, because all of the mandates occurred after January 20th of 2021. All of the mandates occurred under the Joe Biden administration, the military mandates, the federal employee mandates, the mandates from employers all over the country to employees, the reporting, the requiring of showing your vaccine proof card in order to go into entertainment venues. I mean, famously, Rage Against the Machine, the famous anti-establishment band, famous for its content explicitly advocating the standing up against, the rioting against the police, the man, the government. They famously just backpedaled totally and required that everybody who show up to their shows be vaccinated. Just to show you how much spine they have. And that's why I think that RFK Jr. is a plant. Democrat plant and wasted protest vote. Trump rips RFK Jr. I've been saying this for a long time, and all the data was in months and months ago when I realized that he was getting more funding from organizations and individuals known to have previously funded the Trump campaign than from those previously known to have funded the Biden campaign. His support is disproportionately among those who formerly voted for Donald Trump. Now, I believe that the left knew Donald Trump would not step away from the vaccines, would not admit that the vaccines were a problem. And so I believe that they encouraged RFK Jr. to run in order to split the Trump vote. So no Trump voter is going to want to vote for Joe Biden. And there are many Trump voters who don't want to support Trump again because of what happened with the vaccines. So who would be the absolute best candidate for us to run in order to split the Trump vote and ensure a Joe Biden victory? Well, that would be RFK Jr. I mean, he's famous for being an anti-vaxxer. He wrote a book called The Real Anthony Fauci. He's written so many books against the vaccines and the health effects of the vaccines. So if you run RFK, and he seems like he's an independent, not a Democrat. After all, he's not even on the Democratic ballot, even though he has been a Democrat his entire life. If you run him as an independent, then some ignorant former Trump voters will think that their vote for him is a protest vote, where they don't have to vote for Joe Biden and feel bad about that, where they don't have to vote for Donald Trump and support the guy who was behind Operation Warp Speed. So they're just going to vote for RFK Jr., and that's going to ensure that Donald Trump does not get into office again. That's going to ensure that Joe Biden wins. This guy is a plant. And you would think that after all the experiences that he's had, with relatives being assassinated by the government, that he would be opposed to the intelligence committee. And outwardly, he does seem to be opposed to the intelligence committee. He's gone viral several times for mentioning that he believes that the CIA killed JFK. But then why is it that he would hire a woman to run and manage his campaign who formerly worked for the CIA? Why is it that after 1 year of being together with his son, this woman would marry his son? So now he's got a member of the CIA who's married into his family. This is his daughter-in-law, and she's running his campaign. The CIA is running his campaign. RFK Jr. is a fraud, a phony. He should not be trusted. And there are good people I know out there who have interviewed him and like him. And I'm sure that he's likable. I'm sure that Bill Clinton is likable. I would love to have a beer with Bill Clinton. It doesn't mean he's not an evil bastard. I'm sure that RFK Jr. is a perfectly charming and interesting person to be around. It doesn't mean that he's not an evil bastard, folks. This guy is a plant designed to split the vote. Stop supporting him. This is incredibly dangerous. And we're only going to have more of the same with someone like him. If he's got the CIA running his campaign, then he's going to have the CIA running his presidency. It's going to be like Joe Biden 2.0. The only difference is he'll be able to put a sentence together. Barely, because his voice doesn't work, but he will be able to put a sentence together. I don't trust this guy as far as I could throw him. I want to go to clip 45. Speaking of Biden's America, welcome to San Francisco. Adam Schiff robbed during visit to leftist hellhole. This is what you see under Biden's America, clip 45.
Adam Schiff went up to San Francisco this week to raise some cash for his Senate campaign. But before he could get to the fundraiser, he got robbed. While Schiff's car was parked in a garage, the windows were smashed in and his luggage was stolen. Sources tell primetime Sticky Sammy's got an alibi and doesn't like Schiff's style anyway. Schiff's suit and tie must have been in the suitcase because he showed up at the swanky fundraiser in a hiking vest. We hope the congressman finds his clothes and his dignity and the perps arrested. Like Adam Schiff says, no man is above the law. Well, unless the thief's an illegal.
Yeah, so speaking of perps who should be arrested, I am going to show this clip, 46. You can loop it as B-roll. It needs to be looped because it's very short. This is a disturbing video that's gone viral, and I want to show it because I want this man found. Viewers notice man biting boy's ear during billiards tournament. So this is clip 46. Viewers of the World Snooker, is it pronounced snooker or snooker? Snooker Championship in the UK were shocked when a live broadcast inadvertently showed a man nuzzling a child's face before biting the boy's ear. Now, folks, this is very disturbing. But he goes in, and I blurred out the boy's face. But you can tell the boy is very familiar with this type of behavior from this man. And he goes in, he nuzzles him, he kisses him on the cheek, and then he bites his ear. And he's got like a predatory sexual look on his face before he realizes that he's on camera, and then he acts like he's just being goofy and all is well. Now, police have said that they have received this video, but I haven't found any report that they're actually opening an investigation or looking for this man. But this is at the snooker championship from just a couple of days ago, apparently, and this man needs to be found. Just more of Biden's America. Now, not only do we have to worry about that, of course, that wasn't in Biden's America, but that was in Biden's globalist regime, because this type of insidious satanic behavior does spread like wildfire if you don't fight against it. But this type of behavior is not the limit to the threats that we face. We face threats on multiple fronts, namely in the info war now with artificial intelligence coming. This hate hoax, high school athletic director, this is clip 47, arrested for allegedly using AI-generated deepfake audio to frame the principal. So an athletic director at a Baltimore high school was arrested this week after police claimed he used AI-generated deepfake audio to falsely accuse his school's principal of uttering slurs about Black and Jewish people. Let's run this clip and unpack it.
David, new tonight, a former Houston ISD teacher is arrested in Baltimore in a bizarre case where he's accused of retaliating against the school principal there. Dazon Darian is the athletic director at the school. He's accused of using AI to fabricate an audio clip using the principal's voice to make racist and anti-Semitic comments. That clip was then widely shared earlier this year, and the principal was removed from the school. But investigators saying today, Darian created the clip to frame the principal who is investigating him for misappropriating school funds.
We are grateful that we can bring some sense of closure to the community and that we can now shift our focus to moving forward and providing all parties with a fresh start.
Investigators say Darian was arrested at the airport today while trying to board a flight to Houston. He's facing several charges. As for the principal, school officials say they'll talk to him to see if he'll return to school next year.
All right, so now we've got this other story, and I'm going to run into clip 43 about Haiti in a second here, but there's been another train derailment. Gasoline-laden train goes off the rails in New Mexico, and this is just another example of Biden's Build Back Better, building back nothing and allowing the total entropy and deterioration and erosion of our infrastructure. So from bridges collapsing to the train derailment in East Palestine to this train derailment in New Mexico to engines catching on fire on Boeing planes to doors flying off to windows popping out to emergency landing seemingly happening every other week, the entire country is falling apart morally, culturally, and physically. This is the war on all fronts. And obviously, if they really cared about the environment, they wouldn't allow trains to go off the rails if they're laden with gasoline. On Friday afternoon, a train carrying fuel derailed near the Arizona-New Mexico border. The derailment caused a large fire, which led to an evacuation of the immediate area and traffic closures, including Interstate 40. The BSNF train derailed at approximately 1:45 Mountain Time near Manuelito, New Mexico. It was carrying gasoline and non-odorous propane. So there's propane in the air that nobody can detect because it's not odor-laden. And this is an example of the Biden administration and the leftists not actually caring about anything that's a real threat to the environment, not actually caring about any of these real pollutants that we face that bother our communities and are just astronomically unhealthy for everyone around and totally wasteful of resources that we need. But we see then in clip 43 that we're going to run in a minute, how the leftists use crises as an excuse, as a justification to exploit people, whether here in the United States or overseas, to exploit entire populations so they can skim off the top of the aid given. So a crisis will happen in Haiti. They'll blame it on climate change. They'll send aid, whether it's bottled water or services. They'll be invested in all the NGOs and organizations and contractors involved in that aid. They'll skim off the top, and then everybody around gets screwed over, and they don't actually solve the problem they claim to solve. This is clip 43.
Yeah, the Hillary Haiti stuff is crazy.
The Haiti stuff, yeah. Something Hillary raised all the money, but then the Jimmy, Google it real quick. Hillary Clinton aide caught with children in Haiti.
Yeah, it's a Lisa or a Linda, I believe.
Something like that.
Well,
but
look, the Clintons literally honeymooned in Haiti. They went there on their honeymoon. You can look it up and said, "Hey, honey, this is a great place for us to destroy together," which they did.
Well, that makes sense because they would like to go to a place where cannibalism is okay.
Exactly.
They can eat the blood and drink the blood of children.
Sell those children.
You can go to like a restaurant and just buy a baby and eat it there.
That's what they do. Yeah. A man named Barbecue will give you that.
And Barbecue's now the de facto leader of
that. Former cop. It's crazy. Bill destroyed Haiti by taking the rice tariffs, making them take rice from Arkansas, completely destroyed the rice crops in Haiti, and it was downhill from there.
Because they were using Arkansas rice?
Yes. And he would later say it was a deal with the devil. There's a video of that. Because they were like, "You destroyed Haiti with the crop situation." He was like, "Yeah, it was a bad idea."
Oh, wow.
And then Hillary meddled in their elections. They called it all the zombie votes all of a sudden. And the Clinton Foundation sent formaldehyde-filled mobile shelters to the earthquake victims that made all the kids sick.
No.
Yes, the same formaldehyde-filled shelters were sent to the victims of Hurricane Katrina from the Clinton Foundation.
Not surprised.
Well, there you go.
That is a weird connection. Jimmy, who is the Haiti woman? Did it come up?
No, just some stuff came about the leaked emails. Basically, all the aid to Haiti made Haiti worse.
We showed that Haiti clip weeks ago.
Yeah, we've destroyed Haiti. I mean, it's pre-Clinton disruption.
I think I need to do DuckDuckGo because Google's suppressing the hell out of anything bad.
Yeah, for sure. They don't want you to see that. But Woodrow Wilson invaded Haiti and occupied it for 20 years, so it's not like anything new. We've been destroying
it
forever.
I think this is it. Haiti charges U.S. missionaries with child kidnapping. 10 U.S. missionaries detained in Haiti have been charged with child kidnapping and criminal association for trying to take children illegally out of the earthquake-hit country. Announcing after the charges, Haitian Deputy Prosecutor Jean Farage Joseph told Americans their case was being sent to the investigative judge. So I'm trying to find who it was. The group leader, Laura Silsby. That's who it was.
I knew it was an L. Yeah. So now we should send Harvey Weinstein down there to be their president.
He would eat everybody.
The Clintons will do that. Well, that's what they want. That's what they like. Barbecue loves it. My favorite thing about Haiti through the research I've done recently is that if you look up their founding father on Wikipedia, I forget his name, the picture they have, right when you scroll down just a little bit, is him decapitating someone. It's a drawing from like the after the slave revolt, but it's beautiful that that's their founding father, who was then assassinated. You know, and most recently they had a president assassinated as well. We now know the wife might have been involved in the assassination.
No, it was an inside job.
Yeah, dude, Haiti's crazy.
Wow, Haiti. I mean, we're going on a pimp on a blimp cruise to Roatan in Haiti. So if anybody wants to go to Haiti, one of our top chat rats, Ronnie, we're going to try to get somebody to eat one of her toes so we can go viral.
Great. Once a cannibal, always a cannibal.
Yeah.
Got to be careful with that stuff.
Why? Do you think that, like, is it like a vampire? If you get eaten by a cannibal, does that turn you? Like, if a cannibal ate my toe, would I want to now desire?
I don't know if that's the case. I do like, there's a movie called Ravenous about cannibalism. It's great from, like, post-Civil War, and where it gives you powers. Great movie.
It's like Adrenochrome vibes.
For sure. But I'm saying once a cannibal, always a cannibal, because I think you don't go back. In terms of, like, oh, that guy ate someone. It's like a demon pedophile.
Yeah.
Once, that's it. You cross that line.
Chrissy Teigen said she wanted to eat human meat.
Yeah,
she probably already has.
She's definitely a cannibal. Her and John Legend are cannibals.
And that's why she publicly says, oh, I want to do it, because she already has. So she's trying to, like, justify her guilt in her head. I think that's the only reason she would say that. Because a normal person would be like, why would you want to eat a human? But she already has. So she's trying to, like, predictive programming that it's okay to eat humans.
Exactly. That's what they were doing at the White House.
With what?
There. Chrissy Teigen, John Legend, who's probably a cannibal orgy.
Oh, dude, they're doing weird stuff.
Yeah, so there's Alex Stein, 99, pimp on a blimp. Check him out. He's an awesome friend of InfoWars. And I'm not sure if we're going to run it tonight. Wes will have to let me know. But he did a 30-minute interview with Owen Schroyer, and I think that's airing tonight right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 Central Time. But if not, it will be visible at band.video. So make sure you check that out if you like to see more of Alex Stein. I've had him as a guest on the American Journal when I've guest hosted. He is an amazing reporter, famous for going to city council meetings and saying some hilarious stuff that really reveal how obnoxious and ridiculous these leftist policies are. But my point is here, if the left really cared about the climate, then why is it that nearly 10,000 chemicals are leaching into food from plastic containers? Why is it that the water is so bad in Flint, Michigan? Why is it that train derailments are allowed to happen? A new study in the journal Environmental Science and Technology suggests that thousands of chemicals, a significant proportion of which scientists know nothing about, are leaching into foods from plastic containers. Quote, we found as many as 9,936 different chemicals in a single plastic product used as food packaging, said study co-author Professor Martin Wagner in a media release. Significant numbers of these chemicals, like bisphenol A and phthalates, are linked to a variety of health problems, from reproductive issues to diabetes and even heart disease in forms of cancer. Many of the chemicals, however, are totally unknown to science. So you can only imagine how bad plastic foods and plastic water are for you. But we have Pope Francis coming out and saying that deniers of climate change are foolish. Well, nobody's denying that water in plastic containers might have 10,000 chemicals in it, or food in plastic packaging might have 10,000 chemicals in it. Nobody's denying that when chemicals spill all over the place in East Palestine or in New Mexico from train derailments, that that's bad for the environment. So why don't we solve those problems first before we try to totally upend the entire economy by increasing environmental regulations? I mean, you have the Biden administration coming out and saying, like, what, by 2032 or by 2030? All vehicles have to be electric? Certainly, certain states have come out and made that target, that goal. And we know that if you go back through the supply chain of what it takes to make an electric vehicle, you wind up in a mine in Africa where children with their little fingers are mining cobalt directly from the earth. So it's not actually going to solve any climate problems. It's just going to make everybody feel good about themselves knowing that there's no exhaust pipe on their electric vehicle, thinking that they're not contributing to the ozone when all the stuff that goes into the batteries of those vehicles is absolutely terrible. And I'm not knocking it. I think you should be able to do whatever you want with your company, but it seems awfully hypocritical to me that we have an administration, an entire philosophy hell-bent on destroying our economy in the name of saving the environment, when all the alternatives that they suggest would be every bit as harmful, if not worse, than the status quo. When comments made to CBS Evening News and aired April 24th, the 87-year-old pontiff decried those whom CBS's Nora O'Donnell described as deniers of climate change. Quote, "There are people who are foolish, and foolish even if you show them research, they don't believe it," end quote, responded Francis. Why? Because they don't understand the situation or because of their interests, but climate change does exist. It's just this type of BS that's the reason that Biden's approval rating is the worst in 70 years. So the next time someone tells you that unemployment is better than it has been in 50 or 60 years, just remind them that Joe Biden's approval rating is worse than any approval rating in 70 years. Now, folks, this is coming up on the end of the broadcast. Make sure you stay tuned and share Infowars.com/show, band.video, far and wide, but especially InfowarsStore.com, because Nitric Boost is back in stock, and this product is incredible for several reasons. The first reason is vitality. We know that this product helps with your vitality, so if you're an athlete or if you're going to the gym or if you simply want to have more energy and vitality throughout the day, Nitric Boost is an awesome way to get it at InfowarsStore.com. And not only will you be giving yourself more vitality, but you'll be giving the InfoWar more vitality by supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. It's more important now than ever that the truth be broadcast far and wide, that we fight against the censors and the globalists who seek to undermine our national sovereignty and our individual freedoms. So visit InfoWarsStore.com and get Nitric Boost. And not only will you experience vitality, but this product is known to help with muscle recovery. So if you have some goals that you're trying to meet in the gym, and you want to bulk and you want to build your muscle, check out Nitric Boost at InfoWarsStore.com, because helping with muscle recovery is key to building that muscle. Finally, we know that this product is great for your heart. It has amazing cardiovascular benefits. We have doctors that have come on and experts that have come on and talked about how great this product is. So check out Nitric Boost at InfoWarsStore.com for your vitality, muscle recovery, and your heart health. And by buying this product at InfoWarsStore.com, not only making yourself a more vital person, more energetic person, a stronger person, and a person with a healthier heart, but you're also keeping InfoWars on the air, which is more important now than ever. Share the link, InfoWars.com/show, band.video, and InfoWarsStore.com. And stay tuned, folks, for more on the other side.